Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing outstanding, gentlemen, and everybody there in studio. I'm doing very well. And yes, I would say right now the Jays are probably drawing the right team to play if you want to work on padding your lead in the American League East. However, I will say this. I have seen so many times in baseball in the month of September, we overrate strength of schedule as a factor all the time, because the one thing about baseball that is not true in any of the other sports is that you cannot play any better in baseball by playing harder necessarily, or by tensing up and just giving it your all. Sometimes it's better to relax, and sometimes for that reason, the teams that are far out of the race are very dangerous to play this late in the season.
You know, let's get to that just in a second, because there's a notion that the Blue Jays can take a knee or they can sit back and relax, and I don't think they can. I think now's the time you step on the gas pedal, because on the other side of that, the Kansas City Royals are on some kind of downturn. I mean, they lose again yesterday to Cleveland, 8-3. Volquez and his massive forehead got lit up yesterday. And you know, the Jays are only two games back for home field during the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to play for the Jays. So I think from that standpoint, there's obviously still the division, which is very tight. Three games with the Yankees is a minuscule lead as far as I'm concerned, especially because the Yankees come to Toronto next week for that huge three-game series. So I think that you look at the big picture here, and you're right. I mean, the number one seed is there. It's attainable and certainly worth playing for and trying to get that top seed. Although, as we've talked about before, since this new wild card came into being with the one-game wild card round, the wild card game winners have actually won more games in the division series than the number one overall seeds. And I think that's interesting because you have the teams that, even if they're not necessarily the best teams, when they win that wild card game, they've done better, again, over those last 3 years, the top seeds have, because I think they get that benefit from being the underdog, from having played a game as opposed to sitting like the top seed does. So I think there's a lot of psychology at this time of year in baseball. I think that's a huge element of the way things go. And I think John Gibbons, from that standpoint, I know he hasn't managed his ball club in the playoffs before, but I think this is a guy that I think has the right temperament for this team. And I do think over the weekend, certainly on Saturday, he used Russell Martin in the exact right moment there in that first game on Saturday, which was a huge time. I know he just drew the walk, but I think John Gibbons is pushing some of the right buttons here this time of year.
Tulo's out for 2 to 3 weeks. The way that Pennington played in the Yankee series, the way Gone's been playing as well, offensively and defensively, can they really sort of hide the loss because of how good the offense is and how good they are up the middle?
You know, Dean, that's a great question, because I think you look at what Tulo has done offensively since coming over to Toronto, and he hasn't really been that good. Now, I don't mean that as a criticism of him; it's just the facts that he hasn't really.
Numbers are numbers, yeah.
Exactly. So he has not hit that much right now. So from that standpoint, it's not a huge deficit from a standpoint of what you're trying to replace with the production. Now, that being said, he was very good defensively with a lot of athleticism and range, so they're going to miss that, even though Goins, obviously, as you talked about, is a very, very good infielder. So they're going to miss certainly his defense, and they'll miss his presence, because I think that no matter what, opposing pitchers, he's one of those guys that no matter what the numbers on the scoreboard said, he was still too low to the pitchers that were on the mound. And I think that one thing about the Jays lineup is it's been a very exhausting lineup to face, because of the number of great hitters you've had to face from the word go at a ball game. So I think that for all those reasons, maybe the rest of the lineup will feel a little bit of that impact, because those are maybe less stressful pitches. I mean, the reality is facing Tulo and facing Cliff Pennington are not the same thing from the standpoint of how stressed the pitcher is going to be and how much those high-stress pitches will show up in the fatigue of that pitcher later in the ballgame. So I think from that standpoint, they're certainly going to miss Tulo. I think defensively, obviously, like we talked about, Goins has been very good. And Pennington made a couple sensational plays, especially in that first game on Saturday. So I think...
Hey, don't forget his home run. He'd be upset if you did.
Exactly. So he had the home run, too. So I will sort of conclude my thought on this one, Dean, by saying I think that when you look at the Jays' lineup, if there's any lineup in the game that can sustain an absence of a top hitter, it's the Blue Jays, because of how deep it is. And so I think that as you're conceptualizing that lineup, you should be able to carry a lighter bat in the bottom third of that lineup, really even 7, 8, 9, because of how good 1 through 6 have been. So, again, it's not ideal, But this is a lineup that should be able to carry a below-average bat, a shortstop or second base, in order to make sure that those defensive plays are made. Because that right now, at this time of year, as my mentor John Lowe quoted, I cannot recall the exact manager who said this, but at this time of year, baseball becomes a game of getting outs. You've just got to get outs, and that's why you got to play your defense those important games of the season.
John, we saw and you saw Marcus Stroman make that start on Saturday. Has he now raised any doubts in your mind?
I think there's still maybe a handful of doubts, George, but right now that was a start that I think certainly was what the Jays were looking for from a standpoint of at least got five innings. Yes, he gave up the home run, but for the most part, that was a very good outing. Gave his team a chance to win, obviously, because the Jays did win that game. But I think he's a guy that had to come out and just show his health. The pitches came out of his hand pretty nicely. I think he avoided any sort of big catastrophic inning at Yankee Stadium against a bunch of lefty hitters, which I think was a really important test for him to pass. So I think you're right. I think it was a very encouraging outing. And I think now the question becomes, what can he do to build on that? Because I think the other thing that happened that day that it's important to point out is Marco Estrada went above his career high for innings. So he now has a new career high for innings pitched in the major leagues. He's a guy that obviously, for the most part in his career, has been a swing guy, which in the bullpen and the rotation. And when you're that type of pitcher, you don't usually accumulate the amount of innings that Estrada has thrown this year. So now he's in uncharted territory from the standpoint of his arm and maybe the fatigue on him. And I did think Saturday his pace wasn't that great, Estrada I'm talking about. And I think the action on his pitches, you know, he left some changeups and fastballs over the zone that got hit pretty hard. So I think he's a guy that you know, maybe we're starting to see a little bit of a dip in the effectiveness. And if that's the case, then Stroman is arriving at the perfect time because they may have to be really cautious with Estrada. And frankly, when you look at this postseason rotation, we'll obviously see how Burley looks this week. But you have to think if Stroman's coming in, Estrada or Burley is going out. And I think that's the next couple of weeks will be a competition, I think, for those two guys to see who's going to be able to hang in that rotation.
John Morosi joins us, Fox Sports. Listen, wanted to talk about a couple other things other than the Toronto Blue Jays. Sure. I know that there is other baseball, and it is exciting, and it always amazes me and how beautiful this game gets in September, especially when it gets so close after 140-some games. But the race in the AL West is very, very, very compelling. Yes. The Astros and the Rangers. Rangers doing themselves a favor last night. Prince Fielder with a two-run shot in the eighth. Rangers win again. Now only a half game back of the Astros. Really compelling baseball in the AL West.
It's been tremendous, and it's fascinating. The Rangers were at one point in time being 9.5 games back, 9.5 back, and here they come. They actually have, since the latter part of May, right around Memorial Day weekend, they have the second-best record in the American League after only, of course, the Blue Jays. So, I mean, they've been a very hot team. They get Hamels, and he has certainly contributed to it, but overall, they've got a phenomenal young manager. Jeff Banister is one of the best young managers in the game. Tremendous guy as well, and I think he's had a great impact on them. I think and speaking about Prince Fielder and what a huge home run he had last night, he's obviously one of the front runners for AL Comeback Player of the Year. And a real key moment for them came early in the season. Prince Fielder for a long time had resisted being the DH, but he realized that Mitch Moreland was a better defensive first baseman than he was himself, and so he actually went to Banister and said, listen, we're a better ball club if I'm the DH and Moreland's a first base. Let's make the switch. It's better for the team, and let's see what it does. And it was right around that time, Dean, that was when the team took off. Moreland, of course, a big home run for them last night as well. So I think a lot to like about the way the Rangers are playing right now. Their bullpen has gotten better. I credit John Daniels when he got Hamels. He also got Diekman and Dyson to help that bullpen. So the Rangers are a very exciting team, and now all of a sudden the Astros, they've been in first place every day since, I believe, July 27th. And if the Rangers beat the Astros tonight, Dean, they'll fall out of first place for the first time since then. So the Astros are a ball club, but they've been in first place for really the vast majority of the season. But now all of a sudden, hearing some serious footsteps from their neighbors. And also, big picture, isn't it great? You've got a legitimate pennant race now between the two Texas teams for the first time ever, because they've never been in the same league before. So I think it's very exciting, good for baseball, and great for baseball in Texas.
John, the Mets pretty much have the NL East locked up, and there's a debate now whether or not Cespedes is the MVP over a guy like Bryce Harper. Is that the whole New York media influence, or is Bryce Harper the MVP of the National League?
Well, I think a couple things there, George. I think, number one, I'm very sympathetic to the argument of Cespedes getting consideration. And Right now, I still think Harper's numbers are better. He's had the better season, and he had his team in postseason contention. Obviously, we can say, you know, the Nationals have trailed off now, but he kept them in the race for about 5.5 months, which I think is more than checking that box of being involved in a playoff race, if in fact you consider that to be a criteria for MVP. I think that right now I would still give the edge to Harper, but I think that Cespedes has transformed that team. We talked about leads and the way the standings have looked. The Mets, when he played his first game, when Cespedes played his first game on August 1st, the Mets were 2 games back. They're now 9.5 up. Mm-hmm. That is self-explanatory in terms of his impact. But I also want to point out, Granders has been great for them, and Michael Conforto in left field has been great for them as well. So I think that right now, if I had to fill out an NL MVP ballot, I put Cespedes second to Harper. He's been phenomenal, and I think it's one of those antiquated things about baseball, gentlemen, that that you cannot have, it seems as though, an MVP come from the other league, even though they're all major league numbers. It's just, to me, it's silly that what he did for the Tigers in the first 4 months of the season, in the minds of some voters, is not going to be considered. That, to me, is a shame.
When they play interleague, too.
Exactly. Interleague every day. It's a great point. So I think Cespedes, his numbers should be considered 1-to-1 to Harper, not 0.7-to-1 or 0.6-to-1 or whatever you want to say, because he wasn't in the National League to start the season. He belongs in that discussion. He deserves a lot of consideration, but I still think in its totality, Harper's season right now is just a little bit better, but it's not a very big gap at all.
John Morosi joins us. So some of the best moves you make are the ones that you don't make. Case in point one, Johnny Cueto, who was traded from the Reds to the... And I remember being so pissed off at Alex for not going after Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto has done nothing but look terrible since that first start at home. In his last 5 games, his ERA is 9.5 or 9.47. He's 48 hits in 23.5 innings or 23 1/3 innings. It's bad to worse for him. What do they do with him? Because now there's rumors that they don't even know if they're going to put him on the postseason roster, or is this just, hey, we're gonna ride this horse until we can't anymore?
Well, it is a very vexing situation for the Royals and Johnny Cueto. And listen, a couple points here. Big picture, I like Johnny Cueto a lot. He's great for the game. He's a very, very exciting pitcher with his multiple deliveries and everything else. But you look back at his postseason history, he had one start with the Reds against the Giants back in 2012 and left after one out because of an injury. The next year, he dropped the ball on the mound against the Pirates, and that was it. And then those were his two starts. So he's a guy that he is not, from the standpoint of the postseason, I know it's a small sample size, but he has not proven himself to be a reliable big-game pitcher in the way that, for example, David Price is. And I think you make that move at the deadline, and again, everybody thought it was a great decision, but you look at what he's done in the playoffs, he has not been a very good pitcher in those big, big moments, and now he's struggling again. And it was an interesting point that John Smoltz made on MLB Network yesterday. You looked at what is Cueto's most recent outing. He had one at-bat where he used like 4 different deliveries. He's a guy that, you know, he sometimes will quick pitch. He'll go with basically a no stride. He'll do the thing where he turns around and does the Louis Tion, looks at second base. And I think he's just searching for something right now to find any degree of consistency. He is not finding it. And this is a huge concern now for the Royals. They've got to get this thing figured out. I think pitching coach Dave Island has to really go to work with Cueto on this. But to your point, the Jays have to like the fact that they have David Price right now and not Johnny Cueto.
Have you ever seen a trade like this blow up as it has? And I know Lester and Samardzija last year didn't work out, but it wasn't the disaster that Cueto's been in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a handful over the years. I know from having covered the Tigers that the Tigers got Jared Washburn back in 2009, and he basically started a handful of games and then had a knee injury and was never seen from the rest of the year. So I you see sometimes it's because of an injury. Carlos Beltran, I remember back in 2011, the Giants made a huge effort to get Beltran as a rental. They gave up Zach Wheeler to the Mets, and Beltran just didn't hit that much. I mean, he was fine, but he didn't really make a huge impact. So yeah, I think there are cases, none that's really jumping to mind, though, I'll be honest, where a pitcher has struggled as much as Cueto has struggled for the Royals. I mean, mean, this is a pretty profound struggle for him. So I think it's a very rare thing, especially because in baseball you've got the sample size, you've got the track record of a pitcher doing very well. And listen, we can't right now accuse Cueto of in any way shrinking from the moment, because we don't know what's going on for sure. But it certainly has a very disturbing look. And I should point out, oh, by the way, free agent after this year, and this is now the lasting image for a lot of teams with Johnny Cueto. So it is no stretch to say he could be losing himself tens of millions of dollars with the way that he's pitched right now. And I know it sounds cold, but I think it's reality based on the way he looks.
No, and you know what? He asked Ned Yost if he could skip his last start, too, so, which is also public knowledge and not something you want from a guy who you want to be competitive down the stretch.
Right. You know, that is a bad sign. And again, I mean, the one thing I'll point out about the Royals, though, is he came in, and it's interesting because Yordano Ventura has pitched better since Cueto arrived. Now that may in part be, we talked a lot about his influence. It was even reported, I know, by MLB.com. There's a good story written about how Cueto's veteran influence as a fellow native of the Dominican Republic on Ventura maybe helped calm Ventura down a little bit and swung him around. So, maybe, you know, again, they didn't call him up to become Yordano Ventura's second pitching coach. But I think it's worth noting that sometimes when you do bring in a big name guy, it can relax the rest of the roster, and they might be getting a bit of a better performance out of Ventura than they would have if they hadn't traded for Johnny Cueto. So we have to at least acknowledge that possibility, although I am with you, Dean. It's certainly a very concerning time for the AL frontrunners there in Kansas City.
John, the team chasing the Royals, but way back in 9 games out of the Minnesota Twins, and Paul Molitor has done a fantastic job, along with A.J. Hinch and here in Toronto with John Gibbons. Is he right there now in that conversation for AL Manager of the Year?
Well, George, I think that we may see the champion of the AL West be the manager of the year. I think Jeff Banister, in my estimation, what he has done with the Rangers has been just as dramatic in some respects as what's happened in Houston. I think that Banister's been phenomenal. I think Joe Girardi deserves a look. Now, I've pointed out the reasons why I think Girardi deserves it in the past. I think you look at what A-Rod has done, Carlos Beltran, Brian McCann, Masahiro Tanaka, Michael Pineda, I think they've used the most number of players in terms of making their major league debut this season. So they've had a tremendous amount of turnover in New York. So I think Girardi should be a candidate. Now, the manager of the Yankees rarely is because, of course, it's you've got all the money in the world, you've got all these players, you should win. So I think there's a lot of great candidates. If I had to cast the ballot right now, wow, that'd be tough. I mean, Gibby is right there. He's done a great job. I think it would be between Gibby and Banister in terms of the guys that I would vote for, because I just think the Rangers have done such a good job transforming that ball club. And of course, Molitor belongs on the ballot, too. Tough ballot this year, only 3 spots. So, but Molitor, I agree, he's really kind of transformed some things there in Minnesota and put them in the wild card conversation. But a very tough ballot among many difficult decisions here, George, on our postseason awards here for the BBWA.
John, thank you. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much again. And go Jays. Again, we haven't forgotten. We got long memories here.
Yeah.
You're coming in studio during the ALCS.
Hey, I hope we're going to have to make sure that I'm assigned to that series. That's my one thing we got to make sure we have happen.
Can't help you.
And I will do my best, and I will effort. I'm trying hard to make sure I can come up next week for that Yankee series. If I can do it, gentlemen, I will let you know. I'm making a strong effort right now as we speak.